You're listening to Cato Tool on ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.
And if I was to say to you, would you like a quarantini at your ISO desk while we're living through this, Miley? You know, does that make you smile? Does that make you, you know, concerned a little bit? Yeah, there is a new lingo that goes with COVID-19, and that's not that unusual in these times of crisis. Apparently, people love to create words and phrases to help distract them or to get them through. So I'm curious to hear from you. The slang, the new language of COVID that you love or loathe. 1300 222 612 is the number to call. Howard Manns is a lecturer in linguistics at Monash University, and Howard's been studying some of these new words and phrases, categorizing them and poring over them for months. And Howard, I asked, did he know straight away, as soon as there was a pandemic, that it was going to be ripe for new words and phrases?
Yeah, definitely. Because every time there are these hard times, we come up with new words for dealing with them. In fact, it's one of the wonderful ways that we humans can deal with difficult times is by creating new words. And by doing that, sometimes we can avoid talking about the issues, like whenever we're using euphemisms like pushing up daisies or passing away. But other times, we can take it head on. And with the coronavirus panic, what we've done actually is we've taken it head on. We've come up with a lot of new words that actually enable us to be able to talk about it, often playfully.
Okay, so there are lots of examples of playful words and phrases. What are some of your favorites?
Oh, my absolute favorite is magpied. And I love it because it's a distinctively Australian one, and it's also an instance of a noun becoming verbed. Magpied is what happens when we all sweep into the supermarkets and buy up all the toilet paper and pasta. But some of the other wonderful words that have come out of this are largely blends. And blends are what happen when we take two different words and merge them together. We're surrounded by blends in English. So flush is actually a blend from the 1500s, meaning flash and gush. And within the coronavirus, we've seen so many of these things come through. We've seen, for instance, coronials for the corona millennials. We've got the quarantini, the mix of the quarantine and the martini. And now a lot of us are looking at Lexit or Covexit, you know, that strategy that we're using for exiting lockdown, Lexit, or, you know, getting out of this, the Covexit.
And early on, there was lots of concern about COVIDiots, for example.
Yeah, exactly. And COVIDiots is probably one of the most classic examples of this. We've got the COVIDiots in a negative sense, but of course, getting back to that point of taking these things head on, we talk about the coronapocalypse, or also sometimes, you know, the coronacation, working from home, in some instances, unfortunately, losing our jobs amidst this very difficult time. What we say about these sorts of things is that it's a kind of gallows humor. And gallows humor is that kind of humor that we use to directly engage with the idea of death or bad things. A couple of other bad words that have come out of this, or I suppose words that enable us to take on these periods head on, are the corona coma, which is, you know, sometimes used for the period of shutdown, but sometimes for a very long quarantine sleep that we might get at home, and it might be because, well, we have the time to do it in a positive sense, meaning our bosses aren't hounding us over the cubicle, but also perhaps in a negative sense because we don't have a job. Another one that really gets up people's noses actually in the corona time here that we are is the boomer remover. And the boomer remover is used by younger generations for the devastation that's being caused to the baby boomer demographic by the coronavirus.
Which is pretty brutal when you think about it, but we do have a history of creating brutal slang as well. It's not on its own in that way.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as we've been talking about it, the way of taking a lot of this head on, for instance, it's not just in disease. If we go back to the Depression in 1930s Australia, we made a lot of really playful rhymes to deal with the fact that we didn't have any works. And these were often based on landmarks in towns. So people used to say, ain't no work in Burke, everything's wrong at Wollongong, and things are crook at Tallarook. This is exactly the way that we can deal with these difficult times by actually just giving words to them. And, a recent study has actually found that learning new words and coining new words like this can stimulate exactly the same pleasure parts of our brain as sex, gambling, drugs, and eating.
So we are internally programmed to get excited about new words.
We are, yeah. I mean, my colleague Kate Burge and I like to say we're lexomaniacs at heart. We're always out looking for these new words and creating them. And look, it just happens every generation with young people. They create new slang. A lot of the intergenerational rivalry leads to this new slang, but also these difficult times. But one might ask, with all of these new words, you know, what's going to happen to the language, because people get nervous about that sort of thing. But really, most of these words are just going to fade away. It's a process called verbicide, whereby all of these slang expressions slip into the language. We find a good use for them, be it in these difficult times, like in illness, or in intergenerational rivalries, as in youth slang. But ultimately, most of them are going to die away.
In Australia, it's not unusual for us to shorten words and have a very relaxed attitude to words. So I'm not surprised that we've just truncated words to come up with ISO or SANI for hand sanitizer, for example, even though I'd never heard that before this time. But I'm just curious to know whether technology is changing the way that we develop slang, or if we've got the same kind of principles of slang throughout the decades and the centuries.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And one of the reasons why it's an interesting question is that it's clear that technology may be changing the way that we're coining slangs and slang words. And one of the ways in which it's happening is, you know, I mentioned blends earlier, the pushing together of two different words. And blending has been around for centuries in English, and it happens in other languages too. But what's interesting with the coronavirus and also a lot of the new slang words is we're seeing blends be used more. So if you go back through the centuries, typically only about 5% of the new words that enter English are blends. But if you look exactly at the words that have come into English because of the coronavirus, upward of 40% of them are actually these blends, these mushing or smushing together of different words.
There you go. So that's what's new with COVID slanguage.
It is.
Thank you so much, Howard. Appreciate your insight. Any other words or phrases you haven't been able to shoehorn in that you just need to tickle our pleasure centres with today?
Oh, absolutely. One worth mentioning is Miley Cyrus for rhyming slang. Miley, or just the Miley for the virus. So we're seeing with the coronavirus that, in fact, rhyming slang is making a bit of a comeback.
Excellent. That's the old-fashioned style, I guess, too. So as much as there is an increased amount of smooshing words together, we do love a little bit of rhyming slang deep down.
We do. It's making a comeback, it looks like.
Howard Manns, thank you so much. Howard is a lecturer in linguistics at Monash University. Catch you next time.
Yep. Bye-bye.